Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Camtek's second quarter 2015 results conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Camtek's Investor Relations team at GK Investor Relations, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.camtek.co.il. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, would you like to begin, please?
Yeah, thank you, and good day to all of you. I would like to welcome all of you to Camtek's second quarter 2015 results conference call, and I would like also to thank Camtek management for hosting this call. With us on the line today are Mr. Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Moshe Eisenberg, the Camtek's CFO. Rafi will provide an overview of the results and Camtek's strategy going forward. Moshe will summarize the financial results in the second quarter. We will then open the call for the question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to remind you, our listeners, that certain information provided on this call are internal company estimates, unless otherwise specified. This call also may contain forward-looking statements. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Statements on this call are made as of today, and the company undertakes no obligation to update any of the forward-looking statements contained, whether as a result of new information, future events, changes in expectation, or otherwise. Investors are reminded that the actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for services and products, the timely development of new services and products and adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to other risks identified in the company's filing with the SEC. Please note the safe harbor statement in today's press release also covers the content of this conference call. In addition, during this call, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed. These are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future events or results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes that the presentation of non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investor understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing operations and prospects for the future. A full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures is included in today's earnings release. Now I would like to hand over the call to Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO. Rafi, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Ehud. Hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are very pleased with our results. Our top-line revenue grew 17% sequentially and came to above our guidance range. Additionally, we see this strength continuing into the third quarter, and we have guided for continuous sequential revenue growth. Our strong second quarter results were due to strong semiconductor sales. In particular, solution to the advanced packaging and CMOS image sensor-related application. In the semiconductor business, over the past few months, we have had a number of successful penetrations with our Eagle system, and in some cases, into customers to which we have never sold system in the past. We see the advanced packaging part of the semiconductor space continuing its strong growth and increasing demand. Looking ahead, in the third quarter, continued growing demand for the advanced packaging solutions point to sequential revenue growth, and looking further out, we are well on target for ending 2015 year with 20% growth in our semi business as we projected at the beginning of the year. In the PCB market, the OI business is stable, and our focus on the high-end customers in enabling us to maintain our share in what remain a stable market. However, where we will see growth in the coming years in this market is from the Gryphon, our 3D functional inkjet system for PCBs. As time passes, we are gaining over more confidence in our Gryphon solution and advantages its offer to PCB manufacturers, which I will discuss in a few minutes. Our semiconductor inspection and metrology business continued to extend in Q2 slightly ahead of our expectations. The Eagle product line has been well accepted by our customers, and during this quarter, the majority of the semiconductor systems that we shipped were Eagles. We are experiencing continuous growth in the advanced packaging inspection and metrology segment. As we discussed last quarter, the trend to bump wafers instead of wire bonding is increasing, and furthermore, the major DRAM manufacturers are starting to use TSV or through silicon via technology, which further accelerates the bumping trend. Furthermore, we are seeing growth in other segments and specifically for CMOS image sensor. This market segment is experiencing continuous significant growth, and Camtek is a leader provider of inspection solution to this specific market. As you may remember, we made an announcement in March about significant order to this market. We are planning to expand the capabilities of the Eagle family, and we are regularly adding new capabilities and applications such as backside inspection. This capability will enhance our market position in surface inspection applications. We continue to expect growth and believe Q3 will be stronger than Q2. This is based on the success at our existing customers and the penetration of new accounts, coupled with growth of our market segment. We are on track for a strong year for our semiconductor sales, and we expect to see year-over-year growth of approximately 20%. Regarding the AOI business for the PCB market, in general and specifically in the IC substrate segment, our high-end customers invest a lot of effort in new technologies for advanced IC carrier and embedded ICs. We are supporting the R&D efforts of our customers with advanced AOI and new features. And when they start ramping up, we believe we will see more orders for our advanced AOI. Regarding the Grifon, 2015 is the first year that we have been actively marketing the Grifon, initially in the United States and more recently in the Asia. And we are excited by the market feedback so far. Grifon is a revolutionary and disruptive technology, which I am convinced will eventually change the conventional solder mask deposition process. The Grifon brings to the market unique advantages over the traditional process. Not only it is more cost effective, but even more importantly, it resolves the technological challenges of producing complex PC boards. Our strong market position amongst the high end of the PCB market has enabled us to get a warm reception for the Grifon. As you know, the PCB industry is a very conservative industry, and new technologies are not introduced frequently. The close relationship with our AOI customers are helping us market the Grifon. We intend to leverage the existing sales and marketing and customer support presence in the PCB market for the Grifon penetration. Our annual investment this year to support this initiative is expected to be over $5 million in R&D, sales and marketing, and customer support. On the same time, This represents a major growth engine. We believe the total addressable market is over $800 million a year, and our business model includes selling the machine along with recurring revenue of proprietary ink. Our marketing efforts start by providing printing PCB sample for potential customers. Customers are looking at many parameters, including printing accuracy, the adhesion of our ink to the PCB, and more. Based on the result of these samples, the customer then considers how to proceed with more significant qualification process, including installing the machine in their production line. The process ends finally with the purchase. This sales process takes a long time. Following the positive feedback we receive on the dual color Griffon SL, which can print both solder mask and legend, we decided to make the Griffon SL as the standard, and we are focusing only on the SL version of the Griffon. This decision delayed our follow on shipment of system to June, which were originally planned for early in this year. As of now, we have two of the more advanced SL machine in the field. One is at the customer site in the US, and one is our demo center in China. In addition, we plan to install the SL version in a major strategic customer in the US who has been testing already the older version and plan to continue the evaluation with the more advanced model. Our strategy is to install the machine at some additional key strategic customers. One, this type of customer adopts our technology and convince the end user of the benefit of the new technology, it will act as a green light for the industry. And following this, we expect to see an acceleration in order from small and medium-sized customers. We recently launched the Griffon SL for Asia market, demonstrating it to the CTEX show in China, and we saw strong customer interest there. We plan to use this Griffon SL as a demonstration model in China, enabling our many Chinese and Taiwanese customers to visit and see the machine in operation. We are geared to build 20 machines by year end, in line with our plan. This will enable us to deliver Griffons within a reasonable lead time. Some systems will also be used for training, demo, and R&D activities. We believe that in the coming 3 months, we will ship more machines to key strategic customers in Asia and in the United States for qualification. At this point, we expect revenue from the Griffon to start in 2016. With that, I would like to hand over to Moshe for a more detailed discussion of the financial result of the quarter. Moshe?
Thank you, Rafi. Second quarter revenues came at $25.4 million, slightly above the top end of our guidance. Revenues were 10% above those of the second quarter last year and 17% over those of the previous quarter. Revenues from sales and services to the semiconductor industry in the second quarter were $17.6 million, representing 69% of our total revenues. Second quarter revenues from sales and services to the PCB market were $7.8 million, representing 31% of our total revenues in the quarter. The geographic revenue split for the quarter was as follows. China was the strongest region during the quarter, representing approximately 28% of overall revenues. Asia, excluding China, Taiwan, and Korea were 24%. Korea was 16%. Taiwan was 15%. US sales were 11%. European sales were 6%. Unless otherwise stated, I will summarize the rest of the results on a non-GAAP basis. The reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP results appear in the tables at the end of the press release issued earlier today. Gross profit for the quarter was $10.9 million, representing a gross margin of 42.7%. This is compared with a gross margin of 49.5% in the second quarter of last year and 45.2% in the previous quarter. Gross margin this quarter was exceptionally low due to product mix. Next quarter, we expect to go back to our more normal gross margin range. Operating expenses in the quarter were $9.7 million. This is compared with $8.8 million in the second quarter of last year and $8.6 million in the previous quarter. The increase this quarter was primarily due to an increase in G&A expenses, which were $2.3 million versus $1.8 in the second quarter of last year and $1.5 million last quarter. The primary reason for the increase was legal expenses related to our ongoing litigation process with a competitor, Rudolph Technologies. As much as we don't always have full control over the legal expenses, I believe that Q3 legal expenses will be lower. During the quarter, we filed the appeal with the Court of Appeal in Washington, D.C. We expect a resolution in early 2016, and we have good reason to believe that our case is solid and we stand a good chance of success. Expenses have also grown due to increased R&D activities and sales and marketing efforts of the Griffon. Operating profit in the quarter was $1.2 million, same as in the prior quarter. Net income for the second quarter of 2015 was $825,000, or 2 cents per share. This is compared to a net income of $2.3 million, or 8 cents per share in the second quarter of last year, and net income of $335,000, or 1 cents per share in the previous quarter. Please note that our total number of shares has increased from 30.6 million to 34.8 million due to the offering that took place during the second quarter in which we raised $12 million net. Cash and cash equivalents, short and long-term deposits as of June 30, 2015 were $32.1 million, out of which $7.8 million were restricted deposits, compared to $21.9 million as of March 31st, 2015. The main reason for the increase in cash is the offering, as I just mentioned. We reported a negative operating cash flow of $2 million during the quarter. This was due to an increase in working capital, primarily in inventory, in order to support our growth in the semiconductor segment and the building of the Griffon machines. We expect to return to positive operating cash flow in the third quarter. For the third quarter of 2015, we expect revenues between $25.5 to $27 million, representing continued sequential growth. We will now open the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Jay Srivatsa of Chardan Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So as you look into Q2, what do you expect the product mix to be between semis and PCBs?
You're talking about Q3, I believe, right, Jay?
Q3.
We believe that the PCB segment will remain the same, and most of the growth, all of the growth, will come from the semiconductor segment.
Okay. Rafi, in terms of the Griffon, I think in the past you talked about a certain number of shipments you could make by the end of the year. I think it was 20 machines. Now, given some of the delays in adoption, what is your projection for this year now?
Well,
Actually, it's not easy to estimate it because, first of all, we continue with our plan to build the machine because we cannot predict right now how many customers that we believe will install and eventually will recognize the revenue. So we also want to select the customers. So I'm not sure if we can make the 20, but definitely we can make something between 10 to 20, but it's too early to estimate right now.
Okay. In terms of just the tests that you have conducted at the customer site, what has been the response so far? Are the performance metrics kind of what people were expecting? Is it better than what they were expecting? Give us some understanding on what the reception has been so far.
Okay, I think this is what I call an evolution process with customers because in some usually customers, when they adopt new technology, they would like to get the most of the machine. And together with the customer, we try to adopt new features, and some of them are very successful adopted, and customers are very happy. And but I would say it changed from customer to customer. Some customers discuss about thickness, some customers discuss about zero clearance. There are many features with each customer. So together with the customer, even we find more applications and a nice feature that can help the designer to have better product. So in general, we feel very comfortable with what we developed together with customers. And we continue doing it with other customers.
Okay, last question from me. In terms of the CapEx that is needed going forward, I know you raised some money last quarter. What are your cash needs as you look ahead to next year? Do you feel like you have adequate to ramp up the Griffin product, or do you feel like there would be some additional needs at some point?
At least at this point, we feel comfortable with the level of cash that we have on the balance sheet. We expect to return to a positive cash flow in the third quarter. We may need to invest additional money next year, but I don't see any immediate need to raise capital now. This may obviously change, you know, as we move forward and as needs will arise. But at this point, we feel comfortable.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you, Jay.
The next question is from Edwin Mok of Needham. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. Congrats for a great quarter. So first question I have is on the Eagle product. Looks like it's doing quite well. In terms of like some of the account penetration that you guys announced, right? Is that more of a drive? Do you believe that's the driver for growth for this quarter, or is it more just the market growing? How do you kind of quantify between market growth versus share gain?
Are you asking whether the Eagle by in itself was the driver, or is it driven by the general market atmosphere? Is that the question?
Yeah, basically, I'm trying to understand if it's like new penetration that is really driving the growth for you, or is it just the general market is growing for you that is driving the growth?
Oh, I believe it both, because right now I think that our strength in the 3D metrology mainly and the CMOS. Okay, so in these two areas, we feel the growth rate. So I'm not sure if the growth rate is due to taking more market share or because the whole industry, the advanced packaging industry, is. I think maybe it's both, but I would say that will give more for the industry growth rate.
I see. Okay, that's great. In terms of kind of in terms of customer, the back end have typically is a little more fragmented, and there's, you know, many customers that you can go after. Do you see the opportunity for some other big customer that you guys are not selling to right now that could potentially come in the back half of this year?
Edwin, just if you could be kind enough to repeat the question.
Yeah, no problem at all. So I'm trying to understand if there's any other big customer that you guys can win share.
Okay.
Any new customer that you might not sell to right now that you might be able to win additional market share?
So we did add, I would say, 2 to 3 new customers, strategic customers, this year. These are all new customers with potential to deliver multiple orders in the coming months. We shipped for the first time to a major OSAT in the second quarter 2 machines. I'm trying to think out loud if there is additional major customer that is on our radar screen right now that we haven't shipped to. Nothing that really comes to my, you know, attention right now, but I would say that in the third quarter and also in the fourth quarter, we will continue to ship to customers that we have penetrated to in the previous quarters.
Okay, that's actually very helpful. So basically just continue ramping up on some of these penetrations that you have secured in the past. That's great. And then on the Griffin side, can you tell me, you mentioned on the prepared remark that you have you know, a major US customer, a strategy customer that you plan to ship in the third quarter, right? Would that customer return the old Griffin tool, or do you think that they expect to keep that tool?
First, this key customer is already evaluating the previous model, the one color model of the machine. And his feedback is that he wants to move forward with the evaluation process and wants to test also the dual color model. This is obviously with the intent to continue with the purchase process. However, we don't have any purchase order yet from this customer. But the feedback so far from this key customer is very positive.
Good, that's helpful. And then you mentioned you guys have some success in China on your trade show recently and start some dialogue with some customers there, right? Do you expect, you know, all of the shipment that you expect in the back half on the eval, do you expect some of them to come from China as well? And do you expect majority to come from China, part of this come from China, or majority come from the North America? Any way you can kind of give us some idea there?
I would say, you know, I don't know, 50-50 or so. I think we have, you know, a few customers in China that we are in dialogue with them right now. We also testing and plan to test the machine with a few more U.S. customers. So I would say that without getting into, you know, very accurate number, I would say that, you know, we will have customers from both sides of the ocean.
Great.
Still,
that's helpful.
And still, we also, you know, consider starting this year with Europe, later Japan, and but it will take, I would say, a few months before we can cover more territories.
Yes, great. Thank you. And then last question, I guess, is on gross margin. What happened last quarter? What drove the got decline in gross margin last quarter, and I think when the prepared remarks you say you expect it to bounce back this quarter. Can you provide some more information around, you know, why do you think it will come back?
Right, and this has to do with a couple of major orders that drove the product mix and the margin profile down. As we see the current forecast for Q3, we believe that we will be able to return to normal profitability on the gross margin level. So this was also, more like a one-time type thing.
Yeah, was it because last quarter you have really big order from one customer, and then this quarter you have more multiple orders from more customers? Is that the driver?
Yeah, this is correct. This is a fair way to describe it.
Great. That's all I have. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Edwin.
The next question is from J.D. Paget of Almec Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was just hoping you could talk about the ramp of the refund in terms of what existing process it would displace. Is it initially targeted to displace LDI, or is it going to be more of the manual screening?
Just to be sure I understand you correctly, okay, in general, the technologies for applying solder masks right now are, in general, what we call the conventional technology, photo-imageable solder masks made by exposure artwork and developing. And when customer come to accuracy issue, then he look for what we call fit-to-image solutions. And for that, there are two ways to do it, or to go to DI, or to go to our Griffon. So if we compare these two technologies, I would say the two technology can solve the customer accuracy issues. The DI actually follows the current technology, so customer doesn't need to make any new evaluation, qualification. But this is very expensive process. It's about twice expensive as our Griffon. Therefore, we believe that the Griffon is more attractive solution for the customer with more, I would say, the feature that the DI cannot make it. But for the customer, there are the main two solutions.
Is it when you say DI, is that the same as laser DI, or is
No. Laser actually, the energy for curing the solder mask is high energy, and DI cannot make it successfully. It's a lot of time, it's only very thin layer of solder mask. So most of the customers, especially European and Asian customers, they use direct image based on ultraviolet. And the problem is the exposure time is few minutes per site, and it is expensive tool in general. And you don't save the developing and other process that makes some other problem to make this result. But that's roughly is the two major solutions right now.
Okay, so your technology would compare well to the people that are doing DI with UV right now.
So the people who are doing DI, as I mentioned, they can make a good alignment because it's the same principle as we do. And they can make, I would say in general, they can make very similar to the current technology because the photo-imageable solder mask is very similar, okay? But the bottleneck of this process is the developing. Developing process makes some other type of problem, like you cannot make the dam, the size of the dam must be very large, because if it's too small during developing, it will collapse. And there are some contamination caused because of the developing. Some ink goes into the holes and you cannot wash it out. So developing process is, let's say, the dirty process that everyone would like to eliminate it. But right now, this is the only solution. While we do selective, so we only apply solder in the area that the solder stays there. We don't put solder mask in place that solder mask, we don't have to wash it out later on.
Okay. And then I think in your prepared remarks, you talked a little bit about you thought your initial traction would be with some of the smaller to medium-sized customers. Why would that be? It seems to me that maybe some of the larger PCB guys would have a greater budget to be able to experiment and test your technology.
Yeah, I would say in general, look, as I mentioned, the main advantage of this technology is, number one, accuracy, what we call alignment accuracy. The second is the cycle time is quick, save you artwork, save you a lot of time, and of course it's costly compared with DI technology. So you can see based on this who are the potential customers. Number one is customers that do a very tough jobs, and they need accuracy, so they have to find solution whether it go to DI or to Grifol. And the second group is customer who make a very, what we call QTA, quick turnaround delivery. They need to ship board in sometime in hours, in 1-2 days, and they look for solution to make it very quick. So this is what we call the small and medium customer side that specialize in the QTA, most of them in the USA. And the Grifol is tailored for such customers. But as you say, the problem that this customer has a limited budget to go and to invest $400 or $500,000 product. The key customer, they have more budget, and definitely the qualification period is longer because they have very, you know, discipline and procedure how to qualify new process, new material, new equipment. So we try to go to these two customers because in one hand, the small customer can take easy decision in short time and put this machine in production. But the big customer, they can influence the end user, they can discuss with the end user, convince the end user to move to a new technology while the small customer cannot make it, like the big customer. So we have to manage these two group of customer in order to accelerate the penetration process.
Okay. And then final question, you mentioned the one customer, I believe, in the U.S. that's probably furthest along in using the product. What's the process been like with them as they talk to their customers about using the ink and getting that qualified? Has there been a lot of resistance to using a new material for solder there, or is that a pretty easy hurdle to overcome?
Now, I'm not sure how many of them start discussing with the end user, because first of all, our ink passed all the qualifications, so officially, if they are QTA shops and customer do not ask for new material as long as it meets the spec. So sometimes they tell, sometimes they do not. Some of them even make a seminar with customers depending on the customer. The big players definitely will discuss it with customer and will inform. Now, I'm not sure if the end user understands all the potential, because we can change the design rule. We can make things like zero clearance that nobody can make, and for some customer, it is very important tool. So the big customer, our big customer, definitely try to develop this application and to sell it to his end user. Small customer, I would say they just print, sell to customer, the end customer accept it, and that's it. So it's depending on the type of customer.
Okay. So some of the smaller customers, as long as the board meets spec, they don't necessarily care that it's a new process.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much for the explanation.
Okay.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Amit to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available on Camtek's website, www.camtek.co.il, beginning tomorrow. Mr. Amit, would you like to make your concluding statement?
I would like to thank you for your continued interest in our business. I look forward to talking with you again next quarter. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Camtek Second Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.